Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 8th, 2014. Jason, I just looked down. I still had the title out from our Wednesday's program, Living Differently. Have you been living differently the last few days?
Last number of years.
Yeah. Living differently as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ together. And we've been studying this book of Acts for 47, 48 weeks now. And we're in chapter 11. So if you have your Bible handy, hopefully in the next few minutes, the next 20 or so minutes, we'll be talking about the unique way that this book has been recorded so that we can glean truth from it, so we can see how God has been at work, that prescription. And, oh, I love that concept you shared many, many months ago. Was it maybe many years ago? Prescription and
description.
Description. Give us that thumbnail.
Sure. The book of Acts is descriptive, in my opinion, not prescriptive, meaning that we can't go to the book of Acts and say, this is how we do church. I think that sometimes we make a mistake if we go to Acts, say, 2:42, and it describes how they did church, and then we say, well, that's the way we're going to do church, realizing that the context of the first century church is entirely different than our context today for how we do church. And so that is simply describing. Now, there are things in there that would seem prescriptive, but what we need to do is then go out to Paul's letters, go out to the other parts of the New Testament, the other parts of the Bible, along with the Holy Spirit speaking and revealing to us, and begin to see how there is instruction, prescriptive instruction on how we do that. So it would say that they prayed. Well, that describes what they did. They gathered together and they studied God's word and they prayed. Well, we would then want to go over to where Paul says to how do we pray? Well, we pray incessantly and not to quench the Spirit's fire and to seek the good and throw away the bad, which is what we would do in prayer. So we go to Paul's letters and see how this description is prescriptive for us, what the handles are, what the base kind of thing. Because, again, we'll read that passage in Acts 2 and get frustrated because we'll go, well, why can't church be like this? Well, church can't be like this because it's not like this. I mean, there was in Jerusalem at this time, you know, just a couple thousand people that lived in Jerusalem, and then beyond that, visiting Jerusalem were thousands upon thousands of people. But the demographic and the way that people were and the amount of information they had and the way they lived their life was so much different that this could not possibly be prescriptive for how we would do things.
Jason, I'm thinking of a transition, but I don't have one. I can't come up with one.
I had recorded this the other day. You know, I think you need to make an investment. It was $12.99 at Target, I think, is where I saw
it. Is it like a transition app?
Transition app.
Hey, maybe I could develop one.
You could use that, right? A transition. Let me see where this is. Is this it right here?
My transition is asking you to maybe open up time in prayer and people can grab their Bibles.
Wait, does that work? I don't know how this thing works. Let's see. It was this little device that made all these noises. But there was the one that my wife and I decided, well, there's the clapping. But where's the one that we thought would be perfect for you? We would use a lot.
And now...
Here it is.
Oh, wah, 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 wah,
wah, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, I recorded them on my phone because I wasn't going to spend $12.99 for it. But I thought, man, we need one of these in the studio. It has clapping and cheering.
Well, most studios, they do. They have so many buttons, and they preset them for, like, the applause, the countdown, the happy birthday, whatever. And
you could have one with some harp music, you know, and they're kind of like ding, 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 ding.
I need that ring the bell.
Right, a hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you make a transition, you could get a hallelujah chorus behind you. Could we do a campaign now for this? I mean, could we raise $12.99?
Yeah. I'm trying to think how we can get the prescription versus description of this and get us back into the book of Acts. But we are in chapter 11, and probably to pray us up would be the best transitional way to get us grounded for what God will speak to us. I love the fact that it's living and it's active. I think we talked about that maybe last Wednesday or last Friday, the fact that God's word being inspired, being written by man, but being inspired and being intentionally the words that God would have breathed into them so that it can affect us, that two-edged sword we talked about where it can kind of cut us and divide us and bring conviction and bring truth and help us. And even just through this passage today, there will be points of application that all of us can take with us into the workplace, into our home, that will be transformative, where God will use it to either draw people to himself or draw us to himself, or it'll reveal a truth that is maybe hidden or buried. And so that's the excitement that I have anyways when we read God's Word and we ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and hearts, because then he speaks to us very personally and very uniquely, and there's always points of application. And if you're like me, it's like, Lord, help me apply some truth today so that I can be a more faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray us in for that, and we'll see what God's going to do with chapter 11 of this wonderful book of Acts.
Lord, we pray that as we open your word, as we look at your word, that we be reminded, as Mark said, that it is you speaking to us because you live amongst us, that if we didn't have your spirit and we were reading your word, it would be as if we were just reading another book. And yet when we read your word, there's something that happens there as your spirit begins to turn the pages and lifts words off of the page and shows us things, first and foremost, to help to convict us and help us to see a better way, a better path. Jesus, you yourself called it a third way, a different way. And so we just pray right now, Lord, to enlighten the eyes of our hearts. We pray to help us with our humility, so as we learn and as we hear, that we would understand that there are parts of us that we need to work on. And Lord, I thank you that you alone are willing to work on those with us and work on those for us and work on those through us. And so I just thank you, God, for your free gift of grace and mercy, your free gift of love and forgiveness, your gift of the Holy Spirit, your gift of your Son, Jesus, who through him we have salvation, forgiveness of everything, past, present, and future. There is no condemnation. And for that we are eternally grateful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. So we said it was descriptive, not prescriptive, but this describes something that I think could hit home for many of us as Acts 11 starts, because this is exactly the way the religious folks work. By the way, we like to think bad religious folks in the Bible, so we think like the Pharisees and those kinds of guys. But actually, the religious folk here is going to be the good Christians. They're going to be the apostles and the brothers. And it says, "Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." Now, the question you need to ask yourself is that, was this a good moment when they heard it, or was this a bad moment when they heard it? Was this a moment where they were like, I'm a little concerned. I think Peter has gone off the rails. I think Peter has forgotten. Maybe he was never really saved to start with. You know, this moment where they begin to question, because they hear some people have gotten saved, and notice that it's not their inclination first and foremost to celebrate the fact that these people have been saved, or to even seek. Does it say here anywhere, "And the apostles and the brothers sought God to ask him if this was his will"? Or they studied the scriptures and went back to Genesis chapter 12 to see if God wanted to minister and save all the families of the earth? It doesn't say any of that things. In fact, it said, "When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, 'You went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them.' But Peter explained to them in order." Now, we'll get to that in just a minute. But I just want you to understand that Peter goes to a place. We talked about this for a number of weeks. I mean, we don't talk about anything for just a week. We talked about everything for like months. But Peter went and he ministered to a group of people, and it was hard for him to go there. We saw that. We saw him argue with God three times about this revelation of God. Look, God appears to me. I'm just going to be honest with you. He appears to me in the way that he appears. A sheet comes out of the sky filled with meat and all kinds of things, and God says, "Don't call unclean what I..." I don't know if he sounds like that, because some people say he sounds like George Burns. Or, you know, but, I mean, if that happens, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to be like, "Lord, whatever you want." I mean, I'm not going to argue three times. I'm not going to argue once. And yet, Peter argues three times. We know that this was not easy for him, because this challenged his conception of who God was. God suddenly wasn't smaller. God suddenly got bigger. And you know what? I think that we struggle with the fact that when God manifests himself, when God reveals himself, and he gets bigger. Because when he gets bigger, he presses against all the ways that we think we got him figured out. You know, I can remember many times that God has revealed himself to me, and I've just had to say, "God, I love what you're doing, and I don't like what you're doing, because you're pushing on parts of me." You know, I thought I knew how you were. I thought I knew what you wanted. I thought I knew how you would act. And God goes, no, didn't you read that part where it says, my ways are not your ways? That you who can know my mind, that I'm in heaven and I do as I please? Did you read those parts, Jason? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And so God becomes bigger here. And so these guys, they're having a difficulty. But what I think they don't take into account is the difficulty that Peter has. Now, Peter's going to actually, as he goes through and explains this to him, he's going to tell him. He's going to be honest. He's going to lay it out. He's going to be like, I argued with God three times. I wonder if there's some guys in the crowd who are going to be like, that heretic, he argued with God three times? Where's his faith? Holy moly. But you know what? We served at a church a number of years ago. This would probably be like 5 or 6 years ago. A little prickly Baptist church in the middle of the country. Won't tell you where. But prickly, but full of the most loving people. You just had to get past the thorns. But this is what I learned when I was there. I said, well, this is a little tiny town. And it was kind of small town America. So two or three churches, Baptist church, a Methodist church, and there was another kind of church. I think it was a Christian church. Gas station and about 8 bars. And I went in there and they said, you know, will you help us? Will you help us to minister the gospel? Will you help us to figure out what this looks like? Will you come and teach us? And I said, are you willing to go to those bars? And they said, no, we're Baptists. We don't do that. That's not a place that God would have us go. That's a sinful place. There's no way we would set foot in there. I said, I didn't ask you if you drink. I didn't ask you if you play pool. I didn't ask you if you do any of those things. I asked you if you'd go in the bar. No, that's a sinful place. We can't go there. I said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. That's your biggest mission field right here in this town. Because when I come by here at nighttime, there's 10 or 12 cars in front of each one of those bars. And that's a place where you can go and rub shoulders and begin to minister to those people. Now, you don't have to continue to go to the bars. You go to the bars a few times, and pretty soon you're going to get the invitations. If you don't go in and beat them over the head, you're going to get the invitation to go to their homes. And you're going to be able to minister to them in a context that you never even dreamed. The mission field is going, God's going to enlarge himself in your lives. But as long as you think that there's a God who's small, who won't go into a sinful place. By the way, let me ask you a question. And this might just be for a point of clarity for all of us. Did God, when he chose to reveal himself to us, enter into a sinful place? Yeah. The world. He came here to the most sinful place there is, the root of all sin, walked amongst us, and did battle against sin on the cross. So I'm pretty sure if you went like, Jesus, I'm not sure, can we go to the bar to do some ministry? I don't think Jesus would go like, are you really asking me that? Is that like really a question? Now, again, I'm not saying you're going there and you're drinking. I'm not saying you're going there and you're supporting all that. You can sit down and have a soda and begin to have conversations that embody the gospel with people. Now, you don't go in there and start beating them over the head, but you can go in there and ask, you know, hey, how's your family doing? By the way, what is the, and I don't want to get hung up here, but what is the stereotype we have of a bar? A bunch of guys sitting along a bar, discussing all their problems and their woes and the horrible things in their life with a bartender. Wouldn't that be amazing if somebody was sitting at a bar discussing all those things with a Christian? Where you could say, you know what? I know what you're battling with, brother. And let me tell you who I know who could take care of some of this. Let me tell you.
And, you know, many times we can kind of label or stereotype, but they're just like us. They're looking for
exactly
fellowship.
Like
they're
us.
Looking for love. You know, and I've been in bars and have done the bar scene and have played the foosball. But generally, you're just going there to have some fun, to see some friends, to socialize.
You might go to the local bar or tavern, walk in, and be like, Bill? Bill, is that you? You might realize your neighbor's there. I mean, let's just be honest. And so, again, I don't want to get hung up, but I think that same kind of thing we're talking about is what's evident here in this beginning part in Acts chapter 11.
Hey, but what's the rest of the story? So you counseled those people. Would they eventually go out? Did you help them learn or take the next step?
It wasn't a long amount of ministry we did there.
Okay.
We worked our hardest and we worked our best, and I went over to the bars a few times and did some ministry. But, you know, it's hard for us to remove ourselves from tradition and dogma and religion and all those things. It's hard for us. I think it's really – I think when Jesus says, seek and save the lost, set the captives free, I think we like that as long as those captives and those lost people are in places we like to go. Mm-hmm. Like my wife, she would tell you, hey, if there's any unconverted people in Target, I'm all over it. I mean, she would love it. I mean, she, and me, I'd be like, hey, is there anybody unsaved in Chipotle? Because I'm going today.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but to go to places that you don't like to be, the places that are uncomfortable, the places that are hard. Well, every guy in the Bible that you read that you're going like, man, I just love the Apostle Paul. Man, I just love Peter. Oh, man, I just love John. They went to places that were hard. I mean, John got almost boiled alive. I mean, so I don't think that was a happy place.
And Jonah, anywhere but that way, God.
Yeah, anywhere but Nineveh, God. Can I not go to Nineveh? Because I don't like it over there. Oh, those people are not like me. By the way, the problem Jonah had with Nineveh was that Jonah was Hebrew and the Ninevites were not. And so he didn't want to go and preach God and Yahweh to people who were not. He wanted to go hang out with his own kind of people. And so that's what's happening here is these guys are stuck up in religion. And so Peter began to explain it to them in order. And I love that Peter goes in order because Peter wants to walk them through how hard this actually was. He says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. He says, it's like, I'm a good Jew here. I'm just a good Christian. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I haven't even had lunch yet. And then I fall into a trance. So I'm praying in such a way that the Holy Spirit meets me in that. He said, I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, all these unclean things. And then I heard a voice saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And by the way, I hadn't had lunch yet, so I was really hungry, so the desire to rise and eat was innate to me. But the voice answered a second time from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. Because I said, I never let anything unclean enter my mouth, Lord. I've always been a good boy. Lord, I've always been a good boy. I've always followed all your rules. And God says, no, wait a second. The picture's bigger than you saw. You know, your rules governed a very small piece of this picture. And by the way, what I love about the Bible is when God comes to correct us or comes to enlarge that picture, he doesn't change his mind. He just brings into clarity and enlarges the picture for us. Whenever he comes to do this, he always brings clarity to something that was already there. This idea that all the families of the earth were going to be blessed through Yahweh and through the ministry of God and Jesus has been in the Bible since the beginning. And so this is not something new. So it's like God's probably like, you know, like, man, did Peter go to the Bible study? I mean, does he know? I mean, it's real simple. And Peter says, this happened, he says in verse 10, this happened three times and all was drawn up again to heaven. So he says, look, I even argued with God. I even argued with him about this because I'm like you. I didn't think it was true. I didn't think it could possibly be. Gentiles, come on. I'm like you. I mean, right now they're going, man, he argued with him. I'd argued with God 10 times. He says, and behold, remember, if you've been to any Bible study I've taught, whenever I say behold in the Bible, it's always kind of an aha moment. And aha, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent to me from Caesarea. By the way, three men arrived. Who arrived at his house? Three Gentiles. So when God says, you're going to minister to the Gentiles, don't call them unclean because they're clean, by the way. Here's some Gentiles. You know, and so God's like, not even an opportunity to decide. I've already done this. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house, the Gentile's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved. So he goes to this Gentile's house, and this Gentile says, in this kind of amazing moment, he says, yeah, God was here. Like, the angel of the Lord was here. Like, God was here. I mean,
hey. Oh, sorry to interrupt. Quick question, because my verse rendering NIV here, he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. Mm-hmm. You have the household also in your verse?
Yep. I stop because I want to start with us first.
Okay.
Yep.
I was thinking, hey, wait.
Look, you're just trying to get the whole house saved. Let's worry about the individual first. And so he says the God was right here. The angel was right here in my house. And that has to be an affirmation for Peter. And then he says, this angel said that I was supposed to go get you and bring you here. So God was here. And God, I mean, in this moment, there's two things that I think happen that are powerful. Number one, Peter gets this revelation that God hasn't forgotten about him either, that God knows who he is, that God sends for him to come. Now, Peter was faithful, so this wouldn't be shocking. But you know what? Some of the things that are not shocking to us that we might even consider common are the things we need to be reminded of, that God knows who we are. I don't know how many times I pray with people every week where I have to remind them that God knows how many hairs are on their head, and he foreknew and loved them and predestined them for great things. He says he's going to, what's Peter going to do? Peter's going to come and declare a message by which you will be saved. Look, no pressure on Peter. God told me to come and get you and bring you here. You're going to give a message that's going to save everybody. But the key here is by which you will be saved, you and your household. This is the same thing that we're going to see in Acts chapter 16 with the jailer and Paul that forms the church in Philippi. But listen, it has to start somewhere. A seed goes in the ground before you bear any fruit. It starts with one person. And so you have to be saved. That means you right now, you, the person who's listening right now, you have to lay down your stuff, your junk. You have to lay down all of that. You're saying right now, you know, my house is a mess. My life is a mess. I can't seem to get along with people. Things just don't seem to be working. Well, you know what? None of those things are going to work until the problem, because what is the thing that is present and apparent in every single one of those places where you have trouble? You. And so your heart may be the problem, and you need to surrender and rend that heart to Jesus, and Jesus is going to do something immeasurably more than you could imagine with that heart. He's going to reveal himself to you in such a way that it will bring him great joy, and that joy will bring you great joy. But you have to be saved first. And then you become, listen to me, then your mission becomes so much bigger than yourself. And some of you, I'm just going to be honest, are so stinking selfish. It's all about me. And you wonder what your wife is frustrated with you, and you wonder why your wife doesn't like to be around you, and you wonder why your kids are frustrated and love the neighbor dad more than they like being around you. You wonder about those things, and you're frustrated and you're hurt by those things. Well, you know why? Because it's about you. And right now you have the opportunity to have it not be about you, but instead to have it be about Jesus. And when it becomes about Jesus, I'm just going to tell you that it becomes undeniable that the rest of your family will be saved, because Jesus loves your family more than you do. And I know that's hard for you to hear, but God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they love your family. God loves my family more than I can ever imagine loving them. He's loved them since the beginning, before they were formed in the womb. So right now is your opportunity. Don't argue three times. But if you do, it's okay, because Peter did. But after three times, get on your knees. Because if it takes three times for you to realize it isn't working for you, then take those three. But I'm just going to tell you, you're going to find again and again and again, it isn't working for you. Get over yourself. You're not awesome, but God is. And he wants to do an awesome work in your life. And not only for your sake, but for the sake of your family and for the sake of his glory and his name. Because when that happens, you and your household in the midst of your neighborhood will lift up the name of Jesus in such a way that it's never been maybe lifted before. So take Peter's words to heart. And at the same time, maybe be convicted of the ways that you're those guys in the beginning who are saying, you know what, I wouldn't go there and I wouldn't go there and I wouldn't go there. Well, you know what? I just want to be honest. If God was like you, he wouldn't have gone where you were and saved you, because that wasn't a good place. And yet he did. Sent his son into the worst possible place, a place where he was going to be whipped and beaten, scourged, spit upon by men. He sent his son into that place for you. So might you go into some uncomfortable places for him, for his glory, so that some might be saved? Trust me, it will not be lost upon you, the grace and glory of God that you'll see working itself out there.
I'm thinking of the Wednesday program when we talked about God's love. And see, that's so key, is God's character. God's character is full of mercy, full of grace, full of truth. He loves you. He loves you in an incomprehensible way. And so therefore, you can surrender. You can obey. You can bring him all your baggage, all your heartache, your sins. And he's provided that way through the Lord Jesus Christ as we accept him into our hearts. And you can even make that decision today. You can call Pastor Jason Schiffo up. He'd love to counsel you through that. You can call trained counselors at 1-888-NEED-HIM. And they will love to talk to you how to have a relationship with Almighty God, but you can do it right there where you're at, right on your knees. You can just surrender and submit and ask him into your heart and allow him to do that incredible redemptive work that only he can do through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.